Hi, everybody. We got a great show prepared tonight for Angel Coaches, and I'm super excited about this, and I will share with everybody why in just a second or two. But our guest speaker tonight is Dee Hilliard, and Dee has an amazing story. Not only is she a great teacher, she's been one of my teachers. She's also, I'm not going to call her a healer because I think that she'll explain why and as we're going along in the show, but she's a teacher, a spiritual person, talks to angels, God, Jesus. If you're like me, Dee, I talk to anyone's on duty as long as they're full of light and love, right? So, but anyway, why don't you share with everyone where you started and how you got to where you're at now? Because it's a great story, by the way.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for allowing me to come on to the show. This is my pleasure. I was born with a memory, and because I was extremely premature, I had to be in an incubator for the first 3 months of my life. But I knew where I came from, and so as a child, I was very intuitive, and I knew when people were going, when women were going to have babies, and I would tell them what baby they were going to have, and I would tell them great events that were coming because I would get all excited. And when the phone would ring, I'd know who it was, and I would beg my mother to say yes so that we could go to dinner. And so as I was growing up, my mother didn't know what to do with me, and she called me her angel, which is kind of interesting. And she asked that I would be, she dressed me in beige, put me against the white walls, and gave me a book and said, please do not tell anybody what you see. So as I was trained to be kind of a frightened child and not to speak up and to be shy, I moved along in life knowing a lot of things that were going to happen to me because I had visions. And the visions started at age 4, and at age 7 I knew who I'd marry, I knew how many siblings I was going to have in the family, I knew who would be here, who would not be here. And at age 14, I drowned and was pronounced dead for 25 minutes and came back. And I went up to heaven land, and I was shown everything, and I came back with a memory of it. And at age 16, I died of pneumonia and a blood poisoning, went back up to heaven land, had that experience, and came back. And my life was pretty much shown to me what I would be doing, which was difficult for me to understand because back then women wore dresses and high heels, and I was shown wearing a pantsuit and carrying a briefcase. So as my life progressed and the visions increased, I did end up being in the corporate world working with engineers and working under subcontractors with NASA. And I was so clairvoyant that I was asked to do a lot of special duties there that in that had you use your intuitive, which I didn't want to have to do that full time. But because I knew that that world was going to be coming to a close after the shuttle was up and the corporate world was coming to a close because I had the visions of all of this, I was showing that I'd be touching people's faces and they would see violet light coming out of my hands. So as I got older and was in my late 40s, I felt I should get an esthetician's license in skincare. That's to be a professional skincare person. And then I opened up being a consultant, intuitive consultant for people. And then the next thing I know, I had a full business that was a hobby that was touching people and miracles happening, and people were coming in from all over the world hearing of my name. And so I wasn't sure how to handle that. So today, I left the corporate world, and I do this full-time working with people, and I call it coaching instead of consulting. It's the new word that's out. And I work with a lot of people by phone, and also when I come into different areas, they fly in to see me. And pretty much that's my life right now.
Wow, that's incredible. And I know I met you about a year or so ago, and you shared with me about the law of attraction. And I know that you work with people with the law of attraction, and I know I have a lot of people listening to the call tonight that, you know, is in our, with the Angel Coaches. And a lot of times people get frustrated. I know I have, and a lot of people get frustrated because they feel like the law of attraction doesn't work for them. And I know that you've got great stories, and I'll never forget the story you told me about you wanting to become Mae West, or not Mae West, but that's a great story. So I want you to share that and then share why it worked. I was like, man, I need to try that. Not that I want to become Mae West, but you with a voluptuous figure. But you said something that you were actually able to change, you know, things with your, you know, your set. You said your words mean everything, and I was like, I've really started to understand that just by working with you. So share with that. Do you mind if you share that story? I know that's I hope I'm not asking too much. And explain why the law of attraction and your words and your feelings. Because when you told me that, I'm really starting to grasp it, and it makes sense. And my life has turned around, and I know that a lot of people that you work with as well. Is that okay? Do you feel comfortable with that?
Sure. I'll share that one. But first, let me explain the law of attraction as I know it. You find a lot of information out there, and as you said, Tari, a lot of people have a misconception of the law of attraction, and they don't understand how it really works. There are universal laws out there, just like gravity, and gravity always works. You drop a pen, it drops to the floor. You drop a feather, it floats to the floor, and it sort of keeps us on this earth. Well, there's also many universal laws out there that we were never trained in school to know about, and one of them is the law of attraction. So what that really means, it goes way back to some information that was actually mentioned in the Bible, and it's God gave man power of the word. And so nobody understands really what that means unless you have really worked with the power of the word. And what is the word? Well, the word that is actually thoughts that we think. But are we really creator of those thoughts? The mind is constantly on a move, and so it's moving through us. And what we do as co-creators, or what we do as a person, because we are the child of the creator, one of the children of the creator, we have the opportunity to grab on to one of those thoughts, and we ponder on it, we hesitate on it, and we think on it. As soon as you do that, then what happens, it starts to work as an attraction. It goes out there and brings to you what you're thinking about. But because we are not aware of it and not conscious of that, we don't know that is actually happening in your life. And so when you grab onto a thought and then you actually say it, and you speak it as if in an affirmation or a mantra, what you're doing is kicking it in even more so. However, if you do it with great emotion, sincere emotion, it goes out. Now, here's where the little catch is. We are trained as if, as children, like we train our animals. As a child, you come into this world, you are observers, and you're curious. And you're trained by your role models. So that can be anyone who has taken care of you, parents, teachers, nurseries, siblings that are older. And in this training, you are taught habitual ways of responding and a habit of doing things and how to think. And so we have emotions that will actually hold us back. So when the law of attraction came out so big, maybe 15 years ago, people didn't quite understand why it didn't work for them. The law of attraction always works, but our emotional habit and our feeling of what a word means, this is very important, of what a word means, then it's that feeling meaning that goes out and brings it back to you. And so then we get all surprised because it's not the words that we were speaking. It's because we were speaking something that we had never really felt. And so the
hold on a second,
Dave. That word goes out.
Hold on a second. I just got someone text me. They're not. I just texted back for them to call in. But Can you give an example of that? Because they're like, what does she mean? I was like, okay, can you give an example?
Well, you talked about the little story that I told you, and this is for the women will get a laugh out of it, but the men will laugh even more so. I was always a very thin person.
Right.
And so I decided that I would like to have a body that would look very nice. And because I didn't really have any bust line, so I thought, well, I would like to have a voluptuous look. So to me, that voluptuous look would be maybe like a B cup in a bra in your underwear. So I went out doing my power walks knowing that I'm going to be voluptuous. Well, I hadn't realized what the feeling meaning of voluptuous was. I was just thinking that voluptuous is a certain size of my underwear, and I'm going to look very nice. So I go out for my power walk, and I would do the chant, I am voluptuous, I am voluptuous, I am voluptuous. Now, I would go out for this power walk every morning, and I would be out for an hour and a half, walking very fast, saying this little mantra. Well, in a couple of months, I did definitely change my underwear, and I got a little larger. And my mother was laughing, and she says, God, so, you know, you must be going through menopause. That's why you're getting larger. Okay, so I'm in menopause. Meanwhile, I actually kind of forgot why I was really doing this. I got into the habit of saying, I am voluptuous. Go out for the power walk every day, I am voluptuous. To make a long story short, after about 6 months, I went from a size A to a size double D in my bust line.
Is that
and
a
I'm
D
going,
as in
why
dog?
Why am I getting so big? You know.
Hold on just a second. Is that from an A to a double D? Is that what you said? D as in
double
dog, right?
D. Yes.
Double D.
So
no
now
surgery,
I'm huge, even. And I go out for my walks, and it's very uncomfortable. And I have kind of blondish hair, but because I was walking outside so much, my hair is getting lighter and lighter blonde because of the sun. So meanwhile, while I'm out there walking and I'm doing this mantra, I am voluptuous, I couldn't figure out why my hips were getting bigger. I'm eating the same stuff. So here I am at loss trying to figure, but every time I went out for a walk, now I'm trained, I say the word, I am voluptuous. One night, because my mother, I was taking care of her part-time, I was sitting in bed going, I can't figure out why my chest is so large and my hair is so white now, it's blonde white, and I'm for some reason I'd let it grow. And all of a sudden a little voice whispers in my ear and says, what is the meaning of voluptuous? I'm going, oh no, you know. And it said it again, what is the meaning of voluptuous? And all of a sudden I had a vision of Mae West hit my mind's eye. I started laughing so hard. So my mother comes running in and she goes, what's so funny? So I jump out of bed and I said, who do I look like? And what do you think the word voluptuous means? And she started laughing and she says, voluptuous always means Mae West.
Wow.
Because back in her time, voluptuous was Mae West. So here I was, a tall version of Mae West.
Wow.
Law of attraction. Wow. So here, what I was doing, I'm going out there. That's my mantra. I had no idea that my cellular memory of voluptuous was a picture of Mae West. And in my book, Mae West didn't have that great of a figure. She had to wear a really tight girdle.
That's funny.
So what happens is that cellular meaning of that word took priority over what I was thinking that little word meant.
I have a question for you. Okay, so you're saying that the feeling or the meaning that you got from that word was set in stone in your thoughts, in your feelings years ago. So that's
because I grew up. When I grew up, Mae West was the big cat's meow. She was the Marilyn Monroe of some others, but she was that word. Was synonymous with Mae West, voluptuous. That's what everybody called her. She was voluptuous. And so when you're a child and you hear a word all the time and you see a picture of who that person is, so here I'm out there saying that, and I attracted the appearance of a Mae West, except I was taller.
Oh, that's cool. I love that story. So let me ask you a question. How does that work with the law of attraction with us, you know, with people today and
okay,
with money?
Well, when you're looking to attract something to you, okay, you have to give it a firm definition of what you're looking to attract, and you'll attract only according to your feelings. So a lot of people say to me, you know, I want to attract money. So they want $1 million. And the first thing I will ask a person, do you know what it feels like to have $1 million? Well, no. And I say, well, do you know what it feels like to have $100,000? Well, no. I said, what do you know what it feels like? So say the person say, I know what it feels like to make $36,000 a year. So they go out and they're saying, you know, I attract to me $1 million, attract to me $1 million. If you really don't have a feeling of what that would feel like, you have to create the feeling. And what happens is a lot of times we have built inside of our memories, if you are striving to be a very good person and to be a spiritual person, the $1 million doesn't fit in the picture because a wealthy person cannot be godly. And so there comes the little block, the little sabotage. So you have to clear it up in your mind that it's okay. And if you're a spiritual person and you'd like to make more money, you have to accept that that is okay for you to bring into your sphere of influence, and then it will come in. So usually what I do when I work with people who are looking to increase their money, a lot of people want to increase their money, we have to start with something that they feel that they could know the feeling of what it feels like and work your way up. And I've worked with very professional people like attorneys who want to increase their monies, medical doctors who want to increase them, secretaries, mothers, you know, plumbing people. You know, there's a way to attract more money to you, but you have to be open to receive it, and you have to make sure that the memory built inside of you is not going to counteract that feeling. So if you were trained that it's not good to be wealthy because you can't be a good church person because having too much money is not a good thing, you have to first overcome that memory so that you can allow yourself to be able to receive it.
So I know from my own experience working with you that I'm just going to share this with you. Because what you've taught me in learning about the belief in the cellular memory, I've been able this month, actually, and it started when I started working with you, but this month I have literally tripled my business, okay? And because I associated a certain feeling with making money, right? It was a very puritanical feeling. And when you helped me learn to heal that within myself, then it set me free. That makes sense, right? That's how it would go, I
yes,
feel.
Yes, I've had people like massage therapists that, you know, they can't make any money, and you know, it's very difficult. And so they get so caught into that thought, oh, you know, the economy's bad, I can't make any money, oh, the economy's bad, nobody wants to pay me what I'm worth, and it goes on and on and on. There is no way that you can kick in the law of attraction to fulfill you, because you're kicking in the law of attraction, I'm poor.
Wow.
And the economy has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. The reason people are struggling financially is because they are accepting that things are pretty bad out there. Let me tell you, the sun comes out, it's beautiful, the flowers are blooming, we have air that we breathe, you know, we're...
wow, so everything is, it's like our belief system, and we attract what we think. Is it kind of like... you know, I saw this about 6 or 7 months ago. There were two things in Yahoo News. I watch Yahoo News and the Kardashians. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, Yahoo News. One was a bread line to feed the homeless, and the other was an iPhone line. People were standing in line to get iPhones because they were the new whatever iPhones, okay? Mm-hmm. And so they had money, they just didn't have iPhones. So is that kind of like what you're saying? You could be a product of the environment standing in the bread line, or you can be making lots of money ordering the best high-tech gadgets or whatever it is that you're looking for.
It's whatever you accept, and the feeling, the feeling of it is accepted in you. And a lot of us are operating from an emotional base or a cellular meaning of something that they were raised with. Just like that word voluptuous, I thought it meant I'm just going to go to one size up in my underwear and my bust. But my memory of that was a picture of Mae West, and I became a tall picture of Mae West. And I didn't even realize it on a conscious level. And so I had to laugh at myself because we are such funny beings, because no one taught us how to go forward. We are copycats. And so if you come from a poor family, then you're trained to be poor, and you have to really sit down with yourself to change that habitual thinking and feeling so that you can attract something other than being poor. And
oh,
if you get
goodness.
Mad and do it out of anger, that doesn't work, because then you'll still remain poor. That's why a lot of poor people, you know, if they don't have money, they get angry. And sure, I understand that. But we have to change that and understand that whatever we ask for, and we actually know, you have to know what you're asking, then it will come to you, because it's working anyway.
Because the law of attraction is always working.
That's why people with money, when people with money lose money, millionaires, take a millionaire. If they've always been millionaires and they lost money and they fell into the hole, they go out and make another million. See, because that's how they were raised. It's just money. Where a person who hasn't had that, they find it very hard. Have you ever been trained in school? You have to work really hard to make it in life. See?
Yeah, that's a concept that most of us have. You know, the harder you work, the more money or the luckier you get. You're right? Which
right.
is not true.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's why I teach young people, even my relatives, my nephews and stuff. I said, it's not working hard. It's working smart and intelligently.
Yeah, that's
good.
See,
that takes in another thing.
We've got a caller. Right before we take her, I want to ask you a question, Dee. When it comes to, I know that's money, the same principle applies whether it's money or health, right? So if you have a health problem, because I know this young lady does that's getting ready to call us or that's on the phone with us, can you heal yourself? I know you believe you can, but can you explain the concept there?
Yes, we all have the ability to quicken the body, and our body is a miraculous machine. It is a miraculous machine. All the doctors, all the medical societies, the pharmaceutical people, they may not understand how this body can heal itself, but they are attempting to understand, and that's why we have prescription drugs and things like that. But we have an immune system. But here's the thing. When a person gets sick, there's many parameters that come into place. It's how they think and feel about life. And so it's the same story. So if you are emotionally disturbed and worrying all the time, worry causes a nervous tension. The worrying drops into the body, and it's a focus that when people worry and they keep worrying and they keep worrying and they keep worrying, it drops down into that physical body, which is your machine, and it starts causing difficulties. And then we wonder why we have lupus, or we have MS, or we have ulcers, or we have a numerous amount of things, whatever the dis-ease that came into the body. So when you're looking to heal your body, which is a machine, there is a Holy Spirit inside of us. It can be called the flame of God, but there is another part of us that is totally, totally well and perfect. And when you're working with the physical body, we have to let go of all the angers, all the frustrations, all the worries, all the stresses. And some people just say, I can't do that. I can't let go of any of that. So it's a mindset. You have to shift your mindset so that you are open to allow your body to have its own mechanism to heal. And when you speak to your body, there came out a therapy called Body Talk, but when you speak to your own body, you have to speak in wellness, kindness, moving forward in a gentle way. And it's difficult for people because they get angry, they get frustrated, they get depressed. Then if you're on any kind of medication that adds to suppressing the immune system, you know, you have to overcome. Miracles happen when your mind and your total systems, all of the systems in your body, grab on to a beautiful thought of well-being. You know, you have to practice healing one part, but once you get the idea, then you can, you know, heal the body. But it comes in little miracles. It's little surprises to people.
Yeah, I have a question for you. Well, let's bring Priscilla on. I know that she's on a journey of healing herself with her physical body and her spiritual body. So mm-hmm. I think she's waiting to chat with us. Priscilla, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Miss Priscilla. I'm so glad you called in. I know that you're brand new with Angel Coaches, and it's a real pleasure to have you here. And this is Dee. Priscilla's going through some study. And I'll let you share your story and ask Dee a question, because Dee's amazing.
Okay.
I'm a little prejudiced,
though. And I have a friend here. I just met her. She's just recovering or in remission from cancer. And her name's Lorraine. And so my question is, I am a therapist, and I try to think positive. I'm generally a positive person, and I heard you talking about the worrying. I moved from California to Utah, and when I was in California, I was working with corrections, running around, trying to take care of adult children and everything, and working two jobs. And I was worrying a lot. And then when I came to Utah in February, I came here for the peace of mind, and then I was diagnosed on my birthday in March with breast cancer. And I had two tight patches and a tumor right behind it. And they did surgery. And then I'm just my second chemotherapy. I'm just feeling a little bit better today. But I'm trying to get that where I've been saying I'm healing my body. I'm healing my body. I've had a long history of drama in my life. I didn't do anything. It was just generational stuff, and so I had a tendency to worry because that I was worrying that my children or me would spiritually get caught up in this stuff, because my family did. They didn't do wrong. They were just back and forth with different situations that brought tragedy, and so I have to admit I did worry, and I'm wondering how I can heal my body finally and be done with the generational stuff of worrying and just move forward.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. What type of therapy did you do as a therapist?
Mental health therapist for family and children. In the prisons, I work with inmates.
Oh, okay.
I really love doing my job.
It's
very negative.
Yeah, very negative. So it takes being a very positive person to overcome that negativity that you are in. So that's a blessing to be able to open yourself up to help those people. It's kind of interesting. When we come into this incarnation, and this is what I learned from personal experience, okay, that I don't read books or anything about it. It was a personal experience that taught me something. When we come into this life, when we're born, there is this other wording called previous lives or karma, you know, that's kind of all wrapped up in this little thing. And
right.
So we also come into this life, and it's like we have promises that we're going to do something with other people.
Yes.
Well, so we come in with this unconscious memory, okay? And so we don't know anything about it because we go through the veils of forgetfulness. So we don't know about it. So there's that little underlying story. And then when we're here on this earth, we are put in a family that has the same vibration and frequency that we have, because it's all attraction. So mm-hmm. our families that we are attracted to will carry a certain vibration and frequency that we have in us. And so if they are people that worry, and they come from worry people, okay, generations and generations of people that worry, then you would come into that life and be with those people, and you would be a person that worries. So in order to shift that worry and to shift what some people feel that they've had way too much tragedy and shock in their life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to shift that, one of the first things you have to do is every time your mind goes into a worry, you go, oops, that's not like me. I feel this way. And you give yourself a positive feeling. You say, I feel that I walk in this life feeling secure and I am safe under the guidance of my angels, or you can call it your masters, or you can call it the maker, God, the Christ, whatever you feel. And so you have to stop the worry from dropping in. So it's like, whoops, that's not who I am now. This is who I am. I am a free person. I am a very healthy person. I am a happy person. Then, as you move along, find happy things. What makes you happy? So that you are continually going into a happy place. I discovered a long time ago that I don't have a personality that can be in a workplace that's very negative.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work for me. And so I would have to leave that type of work, and I chose careers that were stimulating, fun, and creative, because that's who I am. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people will take a job, and they hate their job, but they got to make a living. See,
mm-hmm.
that thinking is illness. It drops into the body, and it becomes uncomfortable, and something, you know, doesn't work right in the body. So when you're healing yourself, it goes into trust, it grows into love, and most people don't even know the meaning of trust and love. Love especially, we don't know what love means. So we have to develop a meaning and put that meaning in us of what love would be. So I was raised in a family where there was a lot of worry. And I found that that didn't work for me, because I died twice and came back. And I had to take that worry and change it to being happy. And so what I worked with was my parents to, every time they worried, you know, be careful when you go outside, someone might kill you. You know, it's like,
I know.
We got to get a grip here, you know. So I say, okay, no one's going to kill us, you know. And we'll call you if someone does. Don't worry. So, you know, it was retraining everybody in the family not to worry, but let's go and enjoy ourselves and have fun so that we're not nervous people running around. And so when you're looking to heal yourself, you actually took in too much of the negative and you didn't know how to throw it off. And some people say, well, you got to protect yourself. Well, yeah. You know, there's ways of protecting, but we have to first realize that we're looking at these other people in their tragedies and their worries and their prisons and their heartaches, but we don't have to own it. But because we don't know we don't have to own it, we own it. And we start feeling sorry for them.
Yeah.
You can't feel sorry. You can't empathize. You can't take it on. So when you're working with somebody that's very, very ill, you don't look at that illness. When you look in the mirror, you don't look at your illness. You look at that beautiful, wonderful, happy woman or person. And if you're a man, it's, you know, that man. And it's not avoiding, but what it is you're going deep into who you truly are instead of looking at the dream state or the illusion of what you think you see.
Yeah.
And I would say that for some people, they say, I can't do it. Nope, I can't do it. I can't do it. And so they can't do it. And then there's other people that will go, wow, never thought of that. And they'll grab on it and they go, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm open to receive that good help. See, it's the willingness to accept happiness and health, because we're creating our life. Every day, every choice we make, and every choice we don't think we make because we're not aware of it, we are creating our life. And if you don't like your life, then you have to look at it so that you can shift it.
Yeah. I was telling Cherie that she mentioned a law of attraction and all that, and I was saying, I pretty much said boo because I tried it before, but I was in California and I was sinking. I was like in the ocean with just a raft and I was sinking, and I tried it and it wasn't working for me. I even gave it to my patient clients and they seemed to like it, but I don't know the outcome. But I was saying, you know, when she brought it up recently, I was thinking pretty much boo, but it does make sense. And I'm open, and I want to get healthy.
Okay, get rid of that word want. Remember,
okay.
God gave man, woman, the power of the word. Do you know what the word want means?
Mm-mm.
It means trying.
Okay.
Oh, I'll attempt. And
okay.
That's exactly how it is. Oh, I'll attempt. So when you've got to watch the wording. You've got to understand that what you are thinking and speaking has to have a very good positive meaning to it. And if you don't have a positive meaning to it, create one. So when you say, I am very well full of excitement to live, and every cell in my body is lit up with the holy light of good health, and everywhere I go, I smile, and I am so appreciative for the holy breath that I breathe in. That air that I breathe in heals me every moment I breathe in. Do you hear the excitement?
Yes.
You have to be open. And then you say, I am open to receive this good health, and I am open to have it and use it now. And what you're doing is you're opening yourself up for good, happy, enjoyable, fruitful, creative fun.
Okay.
See, so you have to let go of the crumbling.
Yeah.
So when you say, well, I really want to be healthy.
Uh-huh.
Did that sound like you really want to be healthy?
No. There was a little bit of worry behind there. What if I say I want to be healthy and then it doesn't happen and I'm going to get crushed?
Yeah. I mean, you've got yourself so trained, nothing works, and I've got this horrible thing, you know.
Yeah.
And so what you have to do is, what makes me really happy and excited about life, and to feel so free, and to feel so up, and to feel so secure, and to feel so safe? Ah, good health. That's what it is. See the expression?
Mm-hmm.
You have to build the emotional feeling up, And then you have to stay there and trust it.
Okay.
I've seen people on my therapy table, I mean, come in wheelchairs, couldn't breathe, couldn't talk, couldn't do anything, and get up and pound their chest and laugh and drive themselves home, and the nurse sits in the customer seat. And what did I do? I didn't do anything. I just saw them being happy, and spirit took over after that.
Yeah.
Because it's spirit, it's the quickening of spirit that heals. And it heals the mind, and it heals the body, and it heals the soul, it heals the spirit, and it even heals the bad karma, see?
Yeah.
And depending on how long you hold that effervescence that you choose to hold it, then you'll be healthy and happy. But if you get into your old stanza of worrying again, then you'll track back something again, see? But it takes shifting the thought process to joy. And that's why I say people don't know what love is. Love, a lot of times they think it's possessing the other person, being together with another person. You know, they don't put, they may think it's sexual, but love is such joy and effervescence that we don't even know the meaning unless you die and come back.
Dee and Priscilla, we've got another caller. Priscilla, she's going to be on conference call on Tuesday night, and you and I will talk later. She's amazing. I'm just going to tell you, I've done individual work with her, and it's been such a real honor, and I've been able to do some real changing myself. But we're going to have to let you go, Dee, because we've got another caller, and I know she's got a question. Thank you so much, Priscilla. Is it Dee, do you have anything else you want to share with her before we go?
No, I think that's it. I appreciate everything.
Oh, well, Priscilla, you're going to get better. Are you in the process of or getting better? But Dee's really helped me with that. Well, she's going to be on Tuesday night, and then I'm going to give you a call afterward and give you some more stuff about with her. Thanks for calling. Dee, before we take the next caller, one of the questions that I have for you is that whatever we do, we can do physical healing, financial healing, and emotional healing, but it really is about us realizing that we take responsibility for ourselves, correct, with our healing. No one can do that for us, correct?
You take the responsibility for yourself.
Okay. Now, I have another question.
You have to understand, what is that responsibility? What does that mean? Each person has a different meaning of responsibility.
Right. So you have to figure out what that means. And we have another caller on the that's calling in. And she's brand new with Angel Coaches too. I met her on BBS Radio. But my question to you is, if you hold on to old anger, which is telling us that this is the problem because it falls down into the body, right? And if you hold on to old anger, old emotions, old garbage, emotional garbage, that it really affects your work or whatever you're trying to do. Is that correct?
It affects every moment that you breathe in.
Okay, every moment that you breathe in. Wow. Let's talk to Robin.
Ah, hi, Taree. Hi, Dee.
Hi,
hey,
Robin.
Anyway,
hi,
Robin, what's your question?
You?
We're good.
I'm sorry?
Oh, did she get me? Am I breaking up a little bit? Robin?
Just a little bit. I had a question regarding careers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, with wellness and health, I know through personal experience that it's very emotional, very, very emotional. But when it comes to career and maybe changing your career path and that, how do you influence, you know, your thoughts and your, how do you go about doing that? Maybe it's not on such an emotional level, or I don't know. Is that something that you could touch
on? Well, some people are afraid to change jobs, and so they stay stuck in something that they don't really enjoy doing because there's a fear. I call it a four-letter F word. And then some people don't know what kind of career to get into, and so they feel lost. You know, like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I just don't like what I'm doing. And so I find that when you're in a situation where you do not like your job or your career that you're in, then to sample something that you would like, that you think you would like to get into. But if you make a list of all the things you really, really like to do, okay, and you put down all the work that you like to do, because we're used to that word work. So when you put down all the work that you really like to do, and you concentrate on that list of what you like to do, what happens is something shows up that gives you an offer on that like list. But you have to trust it, but it's looking at what you like to do. I have had many careers because I was very curious what it was like to do this and to do that and to do this and to do that. And some of the things that I got into was just a fleeting thought. I mean, one time I was taking hula dancing, and I saw these Tahitian dancers, and I thought, wow, I'd really like to do that. And the next thing I know, I'm performing in San Francisco with a Hawaiian group doing Tahitian dancing.
Right, right.
Because I really liked that dancing. I had no other thought than I really liked that dancing. So I was doing it as a little hobby, taking lessons, right? Next thing I know, I'm dancing in the big opera house in San Francisco in front of a crowd of 3,000. See,
I believe that.
When you,
yeah.
And I made money. I didn't even think about money. I made a lot of money.
Right.
So when you're looking, you have to have something that's, that you feel you like.
Well, I've had similar situations where I've taken an interest in a lot of different things, and a lot of times it has to do with helping the situation or helping or coming to a, finding a solution or, you know, and it's really a challenge for me. I really love doing that, but I'm at a crossroads here in my life where I don't, you know, I've mentioned this before with Tari, where my children are older now, and I'm going through a transition here where I'm doing quite a lot of soul searching, and I need to find something that's stable, that's, you know, because that's the one thing when you do venture in a lot of different areas or have, you know, I have these little, a little job here, little project there, little project there, and it's rewarding at the time, but then later I feel like, okay, now what?
Okay, one of the first things when I was listening to you, I listen very well when people speak, you had a real emphasis on the word need, okay? When we get in our needy mode, then we're sabotaging ourselves.
Desperate, right.
Desperate, okay? So
right.
The needy mode means to you a desperate mode, okay? And you cannot come from that strong emotional needy mode. Need,
right.
I need, okay? So when you're doing the list of something that you feel that you would like to do, or you know that you like to do, okay, and you concentrate on that list, then, and you trust it, and are you a person that likes to pray?
Yes.
Okay, then your prayer becomes positive. I am open to do things that I really enjoy and like. Thank you very much. Okay?
Right.
So what happens to people is they'll put something down that they like, but they don't really like it. They just think, well, that's a good thing to put down. I'm talking about reaching deep into your gut, deep into your heart, what you would like. And that is not always easy because we pound down that like to do the job because we need.
That's true.
nasty. And then it's hard to let it bubble up. So you got to give yourself a little time, which is not too long. You work on it for about a week to figure out what you like, and then you proceed. And then the door's open. There's other things that you can do, but that is at least the first step.
Oh, well, I thank you so much. I loved your insight.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, well, Rob, thank you so much.
Hold on a second, Robin. She's going to be...
Oh, yeah, no problem. I just wanted to give other people a chance.
No worries, because we're going to have to close the call in just a second, in a couple of minutes. But she's going to be on Tuesday night, okay? And she's going to go into more depth about all of this stuff. Right, Dee?
Yeah.
On the spot. I'm
that
sorry.
Sounds good.
Anyway, and then
she's
going to do some wonderful things. So anyway, so make sure you're on. You know the number and everything, and we'll send out an email about it. But thank you for calling in. Okay.
Oh, excellent. Thank you for having me.
All right, my dear. Okay, Dee, you have given us a lot of information. We've got a couple more minutes here, and then I'm going to close the show with a couple of announcements. But here is my question to you. Can we change things in an instant when we get this? And will things happen quicker when we get this? We can heal disease. We can heal our finances. We can heal everything. When we do that, when we get the right wording with the right feelings, then we can change in an instant, correct? Is that the way?
It's kind of interesting. People don't believe in instants. And so I'm going to put it this way. Once you grab onto something, especially healing of the body, it happens immediately. So if you got something that you start out with a little thing that you're looking to heal. And when you get it, that little thing disappears, and it's not there anymore. Okay?
Okay.
So it's when it's quickening of the trust and the love and the knowing, then it happens. So I have a quote that was given to me by Spirit. Ask knowing, and you will receive according to your knowing to receive. Ask knowing and you will receive according to your knowing to receive.
Wow.
So when you know that you're no longer want to have this weird thing on your skin and you're looking for it to leave, as soon as it quickens together and that leaves, you've healed one little thing, and that gives you the trust and the feeling to go on to bigger things. And it's the same with money. Attracting partners.
So let me ask you a question. If you're attracting the right partner really quickly, and we'll go into this more on Tuesday night and another show, when you're attracting a partner, you're attracting love, what is something, a key thing to remember?
Well, you got to have a good definition of the word love.
Okay.
And you attract according to your own frequency and vibration. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be, you couldn't attract. So you have to take a look at who you are.
Okay.
So if you're an angry person and you fake being happy, you'll attract an angry guy or an angry woman who fakes being happy. The underlying.
That's very direct. I love that. Listen, you're going to be on the call on Tuesday night, 9:30 East Coast time. I just got someone that texted me that said you're amazing, and she says I'm determined to manifest great blessings I know I deserve. So anyway, to this person that's texting me that, thank you very much, because I know Dee appreciates it, and she's going to be on Tuesday night. And if you want to know how to get on our manifesting call on Tuesday night, it's totally live and interactive. All you need to do is go to angelcoaches.org. And Dee is traveling quite a bit, so if you want to contact her, go, you can email me at Tari@angelcoaches.org or go to angelcoaches.org and send an email from there. Either way will be great. I know that we've got a lot of things going on, and Angel Coaches is putting together a wonderful retreat. I'm going to mention that. That's happening in the next 9, 10, 11 months. Do you think that's going to be a real success? Do you feel it?
Of course.
There you go. Okay, so you got it from me. He's a great spiritual teacher and great wisdom that she speaks. So, and I know that it is. And Elm Business Solutions, Marquise is helping us put it together. He is really working with Angel Coaches. And then, Nicole is a gala. She puts gala together. She's an events together. And I'm so sorry, Nicole, but I'm going to tell you, if you want to know how to get the best event ever, she does them and does an amazing job because she's putting on the Angel Coaches or putting the event together for us. And she's wonderful. And so we're lucky to have those two people. And if you want readings with or sessions with either one of us, but you can reach Dee through Angel Coaches. Work, and then you can reach me the same way. But I know you're traveling. I hope that we can help you and service you to bring people to you while you're on the road here. And I appreciate you coming on the show. And thank you so very much. And Dee, you want to just say goodnight to everybody, and they can talk to you on Tuesday night.
Yes. Good night, everybody. Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure. Be happy, as they say, and don't worry.